Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
With great conviction, such that you're not dislodged either by fear, doubt, or unbelief from that position. You're strong in faith. We must be strong in faith, the scripture says, not weak in faith. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So I want to encourage us all to maintain this position of unswerving belief and extreme confidence. The Bible says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So included in faith is things like firm persuasion, firm belief, trust in God, absolute confidence. And I just want to, for today, continue to encourage you to trust God. I won't be long, as I promised, because we have to do a few administrative details after the service. Last week I said to you, the whole idea of trust is akin to faith. But it has embedded within it, based upon the Greek and Hebrew words, the whole idea of safety. That if you embark upon an act of obedience, trusting God, that your safety is guaranteed because of where your trust lies. Okay, of where your trust lies. So I want to encourage you that I said to you that trust is the launch pad of a faithful obedience. Everyone say trust, right? So if you have faith to do, the first step, please regard it like this. The first step of a faith pursuit has got to be launched from a position of trusting in God. You are so convinced and confident that should I engage this act of obedience, that my welfare in the process will not be compromised. I will not be disadvantaged negatively by my trust in God. Okay? So I will honor the Lord with my first fruit. It's a courageous act of financial obedience. But I know that I will not be compromised financially should I do it. Because that act of obedience, the act tells you where your trust lies, not so? And so it's very, very important that you trust in the Lord. Last week we said, according to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, let's just read that scripture again. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Last week I said to you, you're required to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not some of your heart. Right? You must acknowledge Him in all of your, in all of your ways. I'm not going to go through what these scriptures mean. You're going to have to consult last week's audio for that. And Psalm 62 verse 8 says the following, trust in Him at all times. Everyone say at all times. And it says, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. So say this with me, all your heart, all your ways, all the time. If you put these three scriptures together, it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in Him at all times. Say it again, all your heart, all your ways, all the time. Right? There mustn't be a stage in our lives where we do not trust the Lord with everything, with the entirety of our hearts, in every single dimension of life, in all of our pathways, in all of the ways. And we do that consistently all the time. What I'm finding out is people are moving from states of trust into states of distrust. We're in faith in one moment and we're in unbelief the next. Right? Now, what I want to encourage you is to start to develop consistency in how you trust God. Just develop a sameness. You know, if I come to you at one point in the week, come to you at another point in the week, or at one point in the year, compared to another point in the year, from one year to the next, I must find that there's a consistency of your trust disposition in the Lord. Listen carefully. If the person you trust is unchanging, so should your trust in him be. Because the thing, or the person rather, that you vest your trust in, is consistent, is unchanging, therefore your disposition should be unchanging in him. So you trust in him at all times. And you know this position, this particular verse, Psalm 62 and verse 8, which says, trust in him at all times. This verse really meant a lot to me, particularly yesterday, in meditating upon the meaning of it. And the Lord said to me, your trust in me is expressed in how you pour your heart out to me. The psalmist said, trust in him at all times. And he says, pour your heart out before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And what I want to encourage you is, you know, December, January are generally busy times. There's a high degree of socialization with friends, with family, with events, work-related events, and the like. And the Lord said to me at one stage, you've interacted with so many, you've not interacted with me. Do you know that over-fellowshipping, as good as it is, can be a distraction to a main priority, which should be connecting with God? Yeah? And at times it's very wise for you to withdraw from the crowd and say, I cannot make this one because of a greater priority. Lock myself in the room if you have to. Find alone time with God and there privately pour your heart out before him. Listen carefully. We're not always strong. We just know where to run. Tell someone, I'm not always strong. I just know where to run. Yeah? Because the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into the strong tower, that is the name of the word name is person, right? The personhood of God. We run into that and we are safe. So tell someone again, I'm not always strong, but I know where to run. Right? And at times even, as strong as you think that Randolph Barnwell always is, in fleeting moments of weakness, I know where to run. I know how to resolve, because I hate that in me sometimes when I don't trust God as I should. I dislike that disposition. And at times when that is the case, I realize I'm only distrusting because I've stopped connecting. I'm only distrusting because I've stopped connecting. And the greatest thing that you need right now is prayer time with God. Listen carefully. You'll get more done through prayer than all of your scheming, planning, etc. More is done in the prayer closet than done on expressing a plan or working it out practically. And I want to encourage you, spend time with God. I want to provoke many of you in this church to come to the morning prayer meetings at 8:35. Many families in this church don't attend prayer meeting at all in the midweek. Right? That tells me a priority is not placed on something that gives impetus to purpose. Let me just say this. What will give impetus to purpose is prayer. If you say it's an optional meeting, I can miss it, it's not that important. What you're telling me is you place no value with reaching out and connecting with God in the heavens. I am saying to you, it's pointless giving the theology of faith and trust when the very mechanisms that drive the thing are neglected. Everyone say, pour your heart out to him. Right? And what I would encourage the entire house to do is pray more. personally. Lock yourself away if you have to. Right? I have an office, so it's very convenient for me. I'll go away sometimes, close the door, lock it, and talk to God. And say, I'm struggling with trusting you with this issue, but I know you're consistent. Help my unbelief. I'll pour out my complaints. Everyone say, pour out. You see, verses like this, just put it up again, verses like this must not become simply verses in Scripture. They must become your practical experience. You can claim all you want to trusting in Him, but you're not engaging Him. Right? You've got to engage Him as an expression of your trust and pour out your heart to Him. We do that privately, but we also do that corporately in terms of a prayer meeting. Wednesday was extremely powerful here, where we lifted our voice and words were echoed to the heavens. Now let me just say this, church. If a prayer meeting is as full as this meeting, I'm telling you we will move heaven. Right? If only everybody here could come to a prayer meeting, you'd interview any pastor. The prayer meetings are the worst attended meetings. Any church, I guarantee you. It's probably, in my esteem, the most important. But it's poorly because the people haven't got a revelation of just how important the prayer is. Yet we say on the one extreme, we are trusting God. I'm telling you, claim that trust, but express that trust by prayer. Okay? Trust must be known by something. It must be observed by something. Now please, this is a word of correction. This is a word of discipline. I, as your leader, you must not only like me when you have good words of blessing. You must have the spiritual capacity to receive a word of correction. Amen? This is to help you. If prayer is a prayer must be non-negotiable. If prayer is not a priority for you, then purpose is always delayed. Blessing is always deferred because the very thing Jesus taught us, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Heaven's will and earth's reality sync in the context of prayer. Prayer positions itself to say, whatever heaven wants, earth must experience for my life, for my family. And James was very emphatic when he said, you do not have because you do not ask. Right? The poverty of blessing in your life is only an indication of the absence of prayer. Okay? So tell someone, pray more. Amen. So next week, we look for a greater representation in the early morning prayer meeting. I'm just saying, plan your day. You know, a lot of people, I see some single people. When the boys were still here, Matthew and Liam, our commitment to things spiritual never waned despite the pressures at home to get ourselves ready and four kids ready in a car, all breakfasted, and we breakfast present. Right? There's no cutting corners without breakfast. These children are very demanding. No, I'm just joking. Right? So there was pressure. You had to plan from the previous night. Ironing had to be done. Things have to be in place. You've got to be here an hour before everybody else. Everyone say, just plan. Just plan. I'm saying to you, listen carefully. Don't tell me you trust in God when in your life I don't see a discipline and a rigor and a priority for spiritual things. Because you must trust in the Lord. This verse is pouring your heart out to Him. Trust must have an expression. You can't say you're trusting God and you're not seeking the kingdom first. If you seek the kingdom first, all these things will be added unto you. You can't want my level of blessing without wanting my profile of commitment. Yeah? You want the blessing, then come up to the level of commitment. Right? And you will see the blessing of the Lord upon your life. People praise Daniel for his wisdom and for his robust faith in the midst of Babylon. But that man prayed 3 times a day. Will you do that? The Bible says he prayed morning, noon, and at evening, opened up his window towards Jerusalem, and he bowed his head praying. Right? So we want blessing, but we're not willing to fulfill commitment. Tell someone this year is a year of commitment. Right? I speak to you in great love because I'm very concerned that spiritual things aren't given priority in biological family contexts. Must get the structure right. Must get it. Somebody called me and we're chatting about tithing. and how they made a commitment to now start tithing. Many are still not tithing. And we're talking about tithing off the net versus the gross, and asked for my perspective. So I said, I believe you should tithe off your gross income. Because your gross income tells, from your employer's perspective, what you are worth in the workplace. Right? And so, if you tithe off your net after, let's say, SARS has taken their portion or various deductions off your salary, you're saying to God, 10% of that portion is what I honor you with. But you've got to honor God with the totality of the value that Babylon has placed upon your skill sets and your commitments in the workplace. Right? We're discussing this with the person, and all as a spin-off from this trust message. Right? Everyone say, trust God. It'd be a difficult thing to employ and install in your financial management. But you've got to trust God. Everyone say, trust God. You can't say, I'm trusting God, but I'm not observing His principles. Right? Let me just get straight to, because of time, let me get straight to where I want to go. Right? Because I've got to finish today. There's so much on my heart. But let me just go to where the Lord, I believe. Look at Proverbs 3. What is the verse in Proverbs 3 which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart? What verse in Proverbs 3? Verse 5 and 6, right? But you know, verse 5 and 6 must be read in context. So if you read from verse 1 to verse 10, you'll see where verse 5 and 6 is located. And then you will start to realize, do I really trust God or not? So verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths, or your paths straight. Verse 7. Tell your neighbor, don't stop reading. We stop there, we think that we trust God. Carry on. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, or from your wealth. From the first of all your produce, so shall your barns burst forth with plenty. You'll be full with plenty, and your vats overflow with new wine. Go to the New King James, to verse 9. Right? It says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruit of your increase. So yeah, we have a command to honor God with first fruits. You will never, and it's all in context of a scripture that tells me to trust in the Lord with my whole heart. And not to be leaning to your own understanding. A lot of people are too sophisticated mentally. We think too deeply, and we think human intelligence can outweigh scriptural intelligence. The biggest hindrance to your obeying God is your mind. What you got to say is, I will not lean upon this understanding. Right? Trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Right? And do not lean on your own. He's not saying abandon your understanding. He's just saying don't lean on it. Don't rely on it. Don't depend on it. Because there is an intelligence in scripture that sometimes will cut across the intelligence of human reasoning. And whenever you're faced with a decision, should I obey God or should I not obey God? I have a salary here, let's say of 20,000 rand. Should I really give this 2,000 rand plus offerings? Remember, everyone say tithes and offerings. A tithe is strictly 10%. The offering, you can decide. Should I give, let's say you decide 3,000. Should I really give this 3,000 rand to the kingdom? My human mind will say you can't afford to. The scriptural mind, biblical mind will say you cannot afford not to. Right? You see, Whenever you trust God, do you know what is the most accurate indicator of your trust in God? Financial management. The destination of your finances will reveal where your heart is. Jesus said, for wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So wherever your money is located, there will your heart be also. A lot of people are still, I'm still seeing this even within apostolic circles. God, you can have my heart, but not my wallet. You can have my heart. I'll worship you. I'll even sing songs to you. I'll even become emotional in worship, but don't touch my money. Now let me just say this to you. Everyone say, trust him. We were tested in this on, not once, not twice, but on a few occasions. Renee and I are very diligent at this. Any money that hits our hand, right, at least minimum 10% is immediately redirected, right, to honor our spiritual leadership in Christ. Right? It's now so habitual, and God has tested us on so many occasions. Doors are opening now this year for us in terms of ministry. I believe based upon the faithful, obedient, financial acts of trust in him from last year. You never just come to this level overnight. But you've got to start where you are, put it in place, and simply obey. Start where you are and see how that even your trust capacity in God will grow. I will never forget. Let me give you some. I'll be honest with you. In last year, we honored in the first month Pastor Thamo with 40,000 rand. It was difficult. It was extremely difficult in the first month, as you know, right? And then when I went to Argentina for the first time in a country, first honorarium received. We already decided we don't touch the first. The first always belongs to the Lord. We honor him. And then we were blessed with an honorarium of 60,000. I thought this is the harvest from that seed. Me and God said, no, this is still the seed for the greater harvest. Right? And at that time, we needed the money so desperately for 110 things. But guess what? We came to the place. I'm so glad. You listen carefully. Two of you. Husband and wife have got to be on the same page as far as these matters are concerned. Otherwise, it's going to cause division and marital problems. If it is, come see me. I'll make time for you. Switch out one time. Okay. I'm just joking, but I'm serious. Yeah? Because some husbands are tithing, spouse, the wife is not. Some wives are tithing, husbands are not. I am saying, be together, be on the same page all the time, and see the blessing of the Lord break upon your entire household. So when the 60,000 rand was given to my account, I'm so glad that Renee discovered it first. I was a little busy with the end of the conference, and she phoned me from South Africa. We speak every evening wherever I travel. She said, this money came in. What is it for? I inquired. It was our host. He gave the money. And then of her own, she said, and you know the money's not ours. See, I don't have to convince my wife about these things. Everyone say, be on the same page. How much more blessed it is when the two of you do what is right together. And you see the blessing of the Lord. So the trust is not from one. I'm trusting God, but my wife is on another level of trust. You've got to be on the, same page, and you will see the blessing of the Lord just break out in ways that will really, really amaze you. The whole point of reading Proverbs 3 from verse 1 to 10. I will encourage you, take the time today to maybe go through Proverbs 3, 1 to 10 again. It starts with, do not forget my teaching, verse 1. Right? That's a focus on the word of the Lord. Keep my commandments. Because of time, I'll leave it a few details. It jumps right down to verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will straighten. Direct means to straighten every crooked thing. He will start to straighten your pathway. Honor the Lord with your substance. Right? And with the first fruit of your increase, so shall your barns burst forth with plenty. There will be a breakthrough like you've never anticipated. But my point now that I want to make is this. You cannot read Proverbs 3 verse 5 and live it without embracing Proverbs 3 verse 1. Do not forget my teaching. Keep my commandments. Everyone say the word. So your trust level will never grow beyond your word level. You trust God to the degree that the word of God is not forgotten. It says, do not forget. Okay? Everyone say, don't forget his word. Now, I taught you this in our series on the primacy of the word of the Lord. Question. If the Bible says I mustn't forget the word, my question to you is, when is the word forgotten? When? You don't trust him, yes? But biblically, when you disobey it. But the scripture to prove that is Deuteronomy 11 verse 8 says the following. Deuteronomy 11 verse 8 says, 8:11, sorry. 8:11 says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by what? How do you forget the Lord your God? By not keeping his. So when is God forgotten? When you disobey his word. So, I can ask you this. Do you forget God? You might say to him, no, always in my mind. That's not the biblical definition of forget or remember. You have forgotten God when there's a principle that governs life in a particular domain, and you have chosen to set aside that principle and do your own thing, your own way, your own understanding. Biblically, you have now factored God out of your mind. Even though you're constantly thinking of him, you could be singing to him, lifting up your hands to him, worshiping him, but God will come to you and say, why have you forgotten me? You can argue with God and say, but I'm singing to you, I'm praying for you. He will simply say to you, there's a requirement here that I expected you to install into that segment of your life. You've set that aside, you have forgotten me. The biblical definition of forgetting God, God is forgotten whenever his principles are set aside. Right? So tell your neighbor, do not forget him. Right? It takes great thought not to forget God. You have to be disciplined. You have to bring structure to your world. Right? The person said something negative about you, and you say, God, I can't forgive them. You've just forgotten God. Because the biblical expectation, the principle governing that scenario is, forgive those. Right? Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. So if you say, no, I know what your requirement, God, but I'll choose to do my own thing. What you are now saying, I don't trust you. My whole thing today, listen carefully, trust, if you have it, must be rooted in your love for God's word and your subscription to its principles. Nobody, and let me just say this, all this faith talk, hope talk, trust talk will be meaningless to you if at the end of the day you leave the series and don't love God's word. It's going to mean nothing to you. Faith won't grow. Hope won't grow. Because hope is fixing the word I taught you. And even trust will not be present. Because of the absence of a love for, devotion to, and a priority on God's word as principles that govern every action of yours. Right? It's not left to you to decide what to do. When you come into the kingdom, you say, my mind take back seat. I will take God's word, prioritize him, install it, live those principles, and receive the blessing. Okay? That is kingdom living. Everyone say kingdom living. Amen. Now, just to show you this. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. This is one of the scriptures we started the series off last week when we said the following. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Lovely scripture, right? Come on, tell someone, lovely scripture. Now tell them, but read the context. Right? Now context. Everyone say context. Context will tell you what the thing means. Look at the previous verse. The previous verse says the following. Curse, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes the flesh his strength. That's trusting in human ingenuity, human reasoning, or humanity generally. And whose heart turns away from the Lord. You never would say to me, my heart has turned away from the Lord. No one would ever say to me, I've forgotten God. We don't say these things, but actions tell us. Right? So when you put your trust in man, God is saying, your heart now has just turned away from me, and you're relying on human prowess, human intelligence to get the thing done that you're trusting me for. So the Lord says, everyone say cursed. And the word cursed here means to be hemmed in with obstacles. I mean, crazy, right? The Hebrew is arar. Who would like to be arar? No. Who would like to be hemmed in, blocked with obstacles? Everywhere you look, roadblock, roadblock, roadblock. Right? Can't move. Right? The word also means to render powerless to resist. Think about it. You are rendered powerless to resist. You are cursed when you are powerless to resist. Got no strength. Everywhere you look, it's just an obstacle, 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 obstacle. Impasse, impasse, impasse. Hurdle, hurdle, hurdle. I know life, we have some hurdles, but I mean, don't let it be the feature of your life. Right? It's not like everywhere you look, at least you have some breakthrough somewhere. You know? It's not like everything is closed off. Right? You've got to ask some serious questions. God is saying, if you've made mankind your strength, you've turned away from me. But, everyone say cursed? That's cursed. And the next verse was not blessed. So the opposite of cursed is, you want to move from that realm to blessed. Blessed is the man who trusts in the, Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Now, I cannot just say I trust you, because the following verses will tell me how. Look at the following verses. It says the following. Right? Look at, let's go to verse 5 first. Go to verse 5. So the cursed man who puts his trust in mankind makes the flesh his strength. His heart turns away from the Lord. Check the result of this guy. Repercussions for him in verse 6 are the following. He will be like a bush. Who would like to be like a bush? Even the term sounds bad. You're bush. Right? No. I don't want to be a bush, right? It says, he will be like a bush in the desert. Not even a bush in a forest, a bush in a desert. What kind of bush are you? Right? As a bush in the desert, and he will not see when prosperity comes. Prosperity comes, but he doesn't see. It's not like there's no prosperity. Prosperity comes, but he doesn't access it, doesn't appropriate it, cannot experience it. Seer means perspective or embracing the thing. Does not see when prosperity comes, and he will live in a stony waste, in the wilderness, in a land of salt without an inhabitant. This speaks of a salt-infested territory. And you know salt-infested territories are? There's lifeless. Nothing grows because of the excessive salt. And it's uninhabitable. This man is so powerful, he can live in something uninhabitable. Right? Lifeless. Cannot see when prosperity comes because he's made human to his strength. Remember last week I said to you, God's going to drive every human source and resource that you rely upon to get your breakthroughs. He wants you to turn his eye upon him, for him to be the singular reason that you have breakthrough. You must trust him and not lean on the arm of flesh. The opposite of all of that, the next verse 7 breaks out. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Look at the repercussions of that in verse 8. It says the following. He will be not like a bush. This guy's a tree. Remember, Joseph is like a tree whose branches run over the walls. He's like a tree planted by the water. He's not a bush in the desert. He's a tree by water. Right? Ask him, which are you? Bush in desert, tree by water. Bush in desert, tree by water. The one guy makes man his trust. The other, trust in the Lord. Now, you should already be working out the dots. You know exactly what water is. Not so? What is water? Word. There's no trust in God unless you are rooted in the Word. Right? So, it says the following. Now, what I like about this man is he's planted by the water that extends its root by a stream. You mind should be running now if you're biblically literate. Right? Right? There is a river, the psalmist says, that flows. Right? Who streams. Everyone say streams. Say one river. Many streams. There is a river whose streams, multiple streams, make glad the city of God. Those are streams of word of God, speaking streams of doctrine. This guy is positioned by one of those streams, and I like him. It says, he will not fear when heat comes. Especially in Durban, South Africa. Okay? When the heat comes, don't fear. But heat here is an imagery of trial. Right? The shield of faith does what? Protects you from the fiery darts. Fire is an image, or heat is an image of intense trial and suffering. When that comes, this guy does not fear, and even his leaves will be green. He defies the season. I like this. He will not be anxious in the year of drought. Even when drought hits, he has green leaves. No anxiety, no fear. And the Bible says here, nor does he cease to yield fruit. Right? It's unceasing yielding of fruit, not stopping, simply because of where the guy is positioned. Where is he positioned? Tell me, come on, where is he positioned? He's positioned by waters. What are waters? Let's just read Psalm 1 to prove that, just for the many young people here. Yeah? Don't assume that you know these things. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3 says the following. You know it's a well-known psalm. Psalm 1 verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But, everyone say but. Right? Now go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Notice the words. Say walk. Say stand. Say sit. Say walk, stand, sit. Basically, it's covering the entirety of one's life. Right? So the Bible says, don't walk in ungodly counsel. Sit with sinners. Stand in the path of sinners, or sit with scoffers. Scoffers are those that always find fault with people. Right? Scandalizers. Right? Got nothing to talk about, so you always need someone as your subject. Right? Rather keep quiet. Right? He says, don't go there. But the opposite to that is, verse 2 says, he's blessed if he doesn't do that. His delight is where? His delight is in the law, or the word. The lawyer is the word of God. And in his word or law, he does what? He meditates, he thinks about the word day and night. What will he be like? Not a bush. Say no bushes here. I nearly say no bushes here. There's no bushes here. For the people on live stream, you'll never know what that means. Except you live in Wentworth. Listen carefully. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams. Jeremiah said one stream. The man in Psalm 1, he's not comfortable with one. He's not want all the streams that make up the river. Right? Right? He's positioned by the streams of water which yield its fruit in season. I like this. His leaf does not wither, and whatever this guy does will prosper. Now, I've got many other scriptures, but because of time, which is really gone, I want to just quickly deal with a case study that sort of captures all of these things. In 2 Kings chapter 18, 2 Kings chapter 18, what happened here is Sennacherib, King Sennacherib, an Assyrian king, besieged Jerusalem, right? King Hezekiah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem in Judah, there was a threat of danger, obviously, by invasion by a foreign enemy, okay? Invasion by a foreign enemy. King Hezekiah was a godly king, and in verse 5, it says this about him. It says, he trusted in the, about King Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord, in the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him of all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. Isn't that a powerful testimony? To say there's a man here that trusts in the Lord. There was no king like him before, nor after, based upon one principle in the man's life. When threatened by an invading Assyrian enemy all round about, he looks to God and he says, I trust in you. In the next verse, it tells us Remember Psalm 62 verse 8 says, pour your heart out. This guy, the next verse, he clung to the Lord. Everyone say cleave to the Lord. Right? Hold on. Remember I said to you, hold on to the word of God if it's all you have. Just hold on for dear life, right? He clung to the Lord and he did not depart from following him. It's amazing to me how that sometimes when the pressure is on, we start to relax principles. When the heat is on in your life, that's the time to, like never before, cleave to the Lord your God. Okay? Hold on for dear life. Okay? We will not alter our financial principles of obedience based upon external needs that we have in the household. So that's how you cleave to the Lord. We will not forget the Lord our God by disobeying his principles. We will not turn our back on the Lord our God by putting our trust in man. Okay? So every one of these statements have associated obedient actions to prove them. Okay? So King Hezekiah cleaves to the Lord as an indication of his trust in God. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Okay? This story, and I'll give it to you on the WhatsApp before to the end of today. The story, the account of this issue, is recorded three times in the Old Testament. Everything recorded three times means it's very... Imagine God records an account three times. You'll find this, if you're taking notes, in 2 Kings 18, in 2 Chronicles 32, and in Isaiah 36. Right? God repeats this account for emphasis. Right? So Hezekiah's trust in God is tested. The Assyrians send emissaries to him, you know, like they always do. Start of the 300, they send envoys, messengers, trying to intimidate. These guys come to King Hezekiah, and they try to literally deride his trust in God for deliverance. Just look at 2 Kings 18 for one moment. 2 Kings 18. Let's read from verse 29. Thus says the king. Now, these envoys, Assyrian envoys, are speaking to all the people in Jerusalem. And they're trying to like make light of Hezekiah's trust in God. So they're saying, let me paraphrase, they're saying to all the people, you're following this guy. Look at our force. Look at us, military might. We're gonna literally sort all of you out. Hezekiah is strong. Now our trust is in God. They're trying to discredit the leader. And so there's his trust will not be impartable to the people. The moment you discredit a leader, you break the spirit of impartation, right? To those led. So they say, thus says the king. Now they're talking to the people, these guys. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, they're saying to the people, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Next verse. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of King Assyria. Can you believe these guys? You know, Assyria means what? Pride. You see the whole arrogance and pride of this particular nation. Right? Now, everyone say corporate trust. It's fine that Hezekiah trusts, but it's not sufficient in this case. The trust needs not to be leaders only. The trust now needs to be the experience of all the people. If God's going to save them, it's no longer a requirement that Hezekiah trusts alone. It's a requirement that everybody now comes to the same degree of trust that the leader has. The Assyrians realize this, and they realize if we can discredit the leader, we can erode the development of faith and trust in the people. Because he's trying to instill his trust in God and impart it to the people. I want to encourage you, be very aware of discreditation of your spiritual leader. You should not sit in a conversation where your leader is discussed negatively. If it is so, you should rise up and say, enough is enough. Right? This is doing damage to the representation. It's actually nullifying and neutralizing any kind of impartational capacity to a whole group. Right? Do you know that Jesus couldn't even do mighty works in Nazareth? Not And the Bible is very clear. They said, this is Mary's son. He's from the boy down the road, Mary's boy. And Jesus made the statement, a prophet is not without honor except in his own city. So where there's too much, listen carefully, familiarity. Do not become so familiar. Let me make this local. Let's say with Renee and I, we are your friends. We hang out, but always keep perspective of our position in Christ. Right? We will always be friendly and highly relational. But you always don't cross the line by saying, we will not discredit. Because in the spirit, the effect of a discreditation has the spiritual ramification of canceling impartation to you. So that which you discredit, you will not receive anything by impartation. Right? The grace you cannot perceive, you will not receive. The grace you cannot honor, you will not experience. Okay? And the Assyrians know this. They don't just blatantly attack. Tell your neighbor, think with me. From based upon history and your knowledge, however great or little it is, the Assyrians were a formidable bunch, not so? You don't play with these guys. Right? They're still being nice by saying, okay, just give over, surrender now. They're still following protocol here. But they realize this Hezekiah's trust thing. It's too strong. And the way he's going, everybody's going to trust God with him. If we can discredit him, we'll kill the trust in the people, and thereby we can take the city. So everyone say corporate trust. Now listen carefully. That's why I need more people in prayer meeting. That's why I need more people daily in the word. You cannot say I'm trusting, but you're not pouring your heart out. You cannot say I'm trusting God, but you are not in the word. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by waters. He's fixated on the word. More word, more trust. Right? So what happens here? They try to discredit Hezekiah, their leader. And Hezekiah literally commands them to be silent. I won't read because of time. The entire thing. He shuts their mouths. Authoritatively he rises up. And these Assyrian emissaries. He literally saying, quiet. Sometimes you must rise up and say, quiet. Shut that voice down. Ungodly counsel does not necessarily come from the ungodly. Ungodly counsel can come from someone seemingly godly. The ungodliness of it is it breaks principle. You could be a son of God offering advice or sharing a viewpoint, but it's ungodly. Now the man who trusts in the Lord does not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. Get up and say bye-bye, excuse yourself if you have to, but you must say, I'm not going to sit here and allow my life, my family, to have these negative repercussions based upon my discreditation of an authentic leader in Christ, right? So it's very, very serious. Now you thought trust was just some simple topic. I am saying all of these things. Jesus could do no mighty works in Nazareth. The Bible says, you know why? Because of their unbelief. But the unbelief was based upon what? They could not honor him as God's son. They thought he was Mary's boy. So there's a direct correlation between your capacity to believe with your position of honoring the one that is sent to you. I really feel the Lord here this morning. I didn't plan to go this way, but long story short. Let me cut the story sideways because of time. Without lifting a sword, Hezekiah and all of Jerusalem routed the Assyrians by the hand of the Lord. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers are put to death by the hand of the Lord. And Hezekiah proves to everyone, hey, this trusting in God works. And you know what? Isaiah, this was contemporaneous with Isaiah the prophet. He records it in his book also. He's around. And you know what? He pipes up. And as a word of encouragement to the people, Isaiah says the following to them. You'll find this in various places, but let's just choose one. 2 Kings 19 verse 30. 2 Kings 19 verse 30. those root downward and fruit upward. 2 Kings 19:30. Watch. In Isaiah starts, the prophetic is activated. And he says, the surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. King James, New King James rather. For out of the remnant of those who have escaped the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Now, everyone say downward root. Upward fruit. You take root downward and you bear fruit upward. Now in context, Isaiah is prophesying. It's simply believe your leader, believe the word that he teaches. Right? Come to the level of his trust and faith in Christ. It mustn't just be his preserver, it must be everybody. As he loves the word, so must everybody love the word. Amen? Okay? Do you guys love God? You can never ever love God more than you love his word. I know how much you love him by your devotion to his word. Okay? And I've proved this in the Primacy of the Word series. Okay? There's a few pictures there I just found on, just to dramatize this. Everyone say, take root downward. Bear fruit upward. A lot of us look at external pictures of a man and trees symbolic of humanity, I've said to you previously. But you got to take solid downward root to bear upward fruit. Isaiah is prophesying this. Your trust in God for you to attain various things is going to be dependent on how deep your roots are by the streams of water. That man is blessed, and that man, according to Jeremiah 17, is the only man that can trust God and make God his trust. There are a few more there, just for continuance. The same, do we have them? But can you get the message? Okay? We mustn't don't say I'm trusting God, but there's no attention to his word. Can't say I'm trusting God. There's no pouring out your soul before him in prayer. Can't say I'm trusting God, but his principles are clear, but you set them aside. You can't say I'm trusting God, but you discredit his leader. Doesn't work. Nothing will work in that domain, okay? Got to keep these principles ever before you. And let me just say this. I like this one because the deeper the roots go, the higher the fruits grow. Right? The deeper the roots go, the higher the fruits grow. And I want to encourage you. Everyone say unceasing fruitfulness. Unceasing. Jeremiah says he will not be afraid when heat comes. Okay? Quote this verse in the middle of Durban heat. But tell the person you're quoting, I'm not referring to the heat. I'm talking about the heat of the trials of this life. I will not fear because my roots are so downwardly rooted by streams of water. I'm going to bear upward fruit in the name of the Lord. Amen. I said I'll be short. This is my short version of this sermon. Okay. But stand with me. Can we sing, You Are My Hiding Place? Right? I think it's here somewhere. Can the team just join us? I don't want to rush this because we have something to do. And that won't take long, I promise you. Yeah. Please don't leave anybody now because we got to administrate your house church groups. So we won't be long. Lift up your hands, sing, You Are My Hiding Place. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.
I will trust
in you. Let the weak say I'm strong.
Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
One more time. You are my hiding place.
And you are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am.
Come on, sing it.
I will trust in you. I will trust and I will trust in you.
Come on, let the weak.
And let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the
Lord.
I will trust in you. Gonna trust, I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
Amen. Lift your hands to Him. Father, in Jesus' name, we've heard your word. Our trust in you will be expressed by how we pour our heart out to you. Our trust in you will be expressed by not forgetting you when we set aside the principles of your word. Our trust in you is expressed by how we honor God-ordained leaders. And we will survive any Assyrian attack. We will not lift a finger, but God will work on our behalf. I declare that level of breakthrough for the house. I pray in Jesus' name, O God, that as we trust in you, we will be like trees positioned by streams of water, whose leaf does not wither, who does not fear when heat comes. Even in the year of drought, we will not be anxious, but we will ever be unceasingly fruitful. Our leaves will always yield fruit. Come on, lift your hands. I pray a blessing over every family. There will be unceasing fruitfulness in the lives of every family, unceasing fruitfulness. Even when drought is all around us, there will be foliage, there will be fertility, there will be fruitfulness, productivity in the tents of the righteous. I thank you that we will defy the season of the world. When everybody says drought all around, we will be productive in Jesus' name. I prophesy this for everybody. I speak it over every family in the name of the Lord. God, we want to trust you. We trust you with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, our souls, and our strength. And we will express that by how we believe your word. In the name of Jesus, help us not to sit in the seat of the ungodly. Stand in the way of sinners. Walk in the path of sinners. I ask in Jesus' name that the blessedness of Psalm 1 will be upon this house. But his delight will be in the law of the Lord. And in his law he will meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Lift your hands. I pray whatever we do will prosper. Whatever we do will know success. I speak that. I break every mindset that is fearful of the future, that is fearful of engaging an act of obedience. The Lord says to you, trust me, whatever you do will prosper if you keep your delight in my word. If you keep your focus in my word, the evil of this generation will not come near you. I will guard and guide you, declares the Lord. If your trust is remaining firmly in me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come give the Lord a hand of thanks. Amen.